Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And let's go to the phone lines right away and talk to Caitlin Schmidt of the Arizona Daily Star. Thank you for coming on, Caitlin. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Steve?
Fine, thank you. I know you're a busy, busy woman working on a lot of projects here. I just want to continue to say you've done a fabulous job of kind of finding what you're finding regarding the U of A athletic program. I would I'll envelope it that way. And how busy are you still continuing to find out things about what's gone on off the field?
You know, there have been some discovery dispute hearings in court, so we're gleaning some information that way. I'm starting to get some responses to records requests, so we're getting information that way as well. You know, the university is still, their hands are pretty well tied as far as what they can say about Title IX investigations or what's happening in court, but they've been willing to comment on some things. I wrote a story a couple of weeks ago that we had talked about all of the misconduct that had been reported against football players, and actually the victim in one of the cases reached out to me afterwards to give me a little more information about the process. So it's trickling in.
Right, right. I talked to you maybe a week or so ago because I was fascinated, and I continue to be fascinated by the work you're doing and how well you're doing with it. I think it was like the story you referred to. You were doing some work and some, I guess, back a while back, and you had like maybe 15 cases that you found out, and then you found out there's almost twice as many now.
Yeah, and that's all come out through these discovery dispute hearings. There hasn't really been any formal record that we can find either through the university or entered into evidence. So we're not really sure if, you know, a different number was reported at first or if they were only discussing the first number. I know that in previous hearings they had mentioned a chart that referred to complaints, and in this particular hearing they had referenced multiple charts. So it seems like we have some complaints coming in perhaps from different sources. But right. Yeah, the number went way up to 27.
Did that surprise you? And one, if you could, with whatever you can say, they involve what, assaults, whatever word you want to use?
Yeah, they were for Title IX complaints that included sexual assault, sexual harassment, domestic and dating violence, that type of thing. So yeah, there were a total of 27 between January 1st, 2012 and December 31st, 2017. And I did find that number to be kind of surprising, just because, you know, it's a large number. When I had started getting the reports about football players coming in, that initial number that we'd seen of 16 didn't seem correct. So when we got the revised figure, it did tend to make more sense. But, I mean, nobody wants to see that level of complaints happening.
Sure, sure. I was going to ask you, you've been doing this for about 2 years now in the work you've done. How have you been received by the U of A, one? And how have you been received by the UA fans, the ones that you know are big-time fans?
You know, I haven't really received any kind of critical feedback from these all-in fans, which is interesting. When I was reporting on the FBI investigation and those happenings, the fans were all over us for that coverage, but they haven't had much to say on this. I know the situation is frustrating for the university because we're putting out these stories and they can't really comment,
right.
But they have been receptive to comment when they can. While records requests are coming out slowly, they are coming out. So I don't know that anyone loves what I'm reporting on over there, but they have been participating when they're able to.
When they're able to, sure, no question. I'm thinking, oh, here comes Caitlin again. It's not a good sign.
Yeah, and you know, they've made some positive changes along the way, which we've been able to report on. They kind of realigned the Title IX department. They created this new Department of Title IX Equity and Inclusion, which is a centralized resource for people to complain. So we've been reporting on the proactive steps they've taken on the way just to kind of keep the balance fair.
Right, right. I guess in your most recent story, which may have been maybe a week or 10 days ago, I think it was on a Sunday, with the three players that their names came out, did that shock you at all as well?
Seeing the student equipment manager as one of the people that perpetrated the assault or that was accused of perpetrating the assault did kind of surprise me, because what I've seen at least in other schools where you have these kinds of group assaults is it strictly is typically team members, and you know, the support staffer is, you know, for all intents and purposes not a player on the team.
Yeah,
so that was a little surprising. I was also, of course, surprised to learn that all these players had left before the discipline was imposed. But of course, you know, there were a number of factors that went into that.
Sure, sure. I guess the one player or one administrative person that you talked about landed at another university and got a decent job, I assume. And do you know if he's still there?
I'm not sure if he's still there. He's still active on their website as an employee, but when I spoke to the University of Utah, they're very clear that they would be addressing the situation quickly in whatever way they could. But when I asked them if they could follow up with me when action is taken, they said state law prevents them from doing so. So really all I can kind of do is keep scanning the internet and see what happens.
Right, to see if his name is still on the website.
Right, exactly.
Right, right, right. Has this whole process, and this is a bad word, and I don't even know if I want to use it. I know it's kept you busy, but as a journalist, this is kind of what we go to school for and hope to do and making things right, wrong, you know, when I'm wrong, right, and all that stuff. So what's the word? Is it, fun's not the right word. I don't want to use fun because you're real busy. What is the word for you as you kind of go through all the filings and the paperwork and a lot of the words you write? Because these are not small stories. These are long stories.
Yeah, I mean, I would almost want to say just gratifying, but that's not even correct because
right.
It's such
mm-hmm.
a grave situation. But it is, I mean, it's an honor to be receiving phone calls from sexual assault victims to alert me to things that happened to them because they feel comfortable sharing their stories. And I think, you know, regardless of if this current administration at the U of A is different than the one 5 years ago, I think this is still important information to get out there. Even if we've moved on, so it seems, this is a part of our history that for the large part went under the radar. So, you know, like you said, this is what we go to school for. Nobody ever wants to see anything, you know, violence against women occurring at kind of this rate. But it's an honor to have been able to follow this story and kind of see it unfold and get the information out there for students and parents and the community at large.
Do you think, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it all started with the track coach, Carter. I think you could correct me. If it did, do you think had that not come out, everything else would be kind of like, you wouldn't be working on any of this?
And, you know, I think that is when it started. I mean, certainly we've now learned that there were assaults that took
sure.
place before that,
mm-hmm.
but this is kind of the story that caught the headlines. It's tough to say what would have happened with that one. I mean, I give that victim, Bailey Gibson, a lot of credit for coming forward. You know, it was 2015. It was 2 years before the Me Too movement started, where women had kind of gained steam to make these reports. So she was ahead of her time, but I do often wonder if she hadn't made that report, would Orlando Bradford's victims have felt comfortable a
True.
Year later coming forward? And it's really tough to say. I know that Bailey Gibson's life has not been easy since she's done this, but I truly think that by her finding the courage to talk about what had happened to her, I think she probably gave a voice to some other victims.
Yeah, no question about that. I'm curious, have you ever tried to reach out to Orlando?
I have not yet, no. And he's now situated in prison. I've been thinking about requesting an interview, seeing if he's willing to sit down and talk. But like you said, these past few months have been crazy. But yeah, I think that's definitely an important part of the story. That case didn't go to trial, so we didn't get any kind of testimony from him or anyone maybe in his past that could talk about his upbringing or
right.
maybe what kind of trauma he's experienced as a child. And I have a feeling that anybody that commits these acts probably has a story of their own to tell.
Right, right. Let me ask you again, because I asked you this the last time we were on the phone about a month or so ago. I'm sure you've said you've reached out to Greg Byrne. A lot of this happened under his watch. I'm sure you continued to do that, and I'm sure he's continuing to say no comment.
I haven't tried to talk to him since the last time we spoke. You know, his name has kind of stayed out of the story. You know, as soon as it comes up again, we'll absolutely reach out to him. I know that these trials are getting to a point where at some point he'll be deposed, so we'll be trying out to reach out to him again. But, you know, I made a couple attempts, and it seems like it's not going to happen until the lawsuits have ended. But we'll see. I'm sure everyone in Tucson would love to hear from him about this.
Right. No, I do, because I hear often that he kind of left at the right time and yada, yada. Well, he did. But under cloudy circumstances, as you know, obviously.
Right, and they certainly haven't followed him. He definitely got a fresh start. But that, you know, and that's the one biggest piece of feedback I get to every single article is there will be a tweet or an email or a Facebook post that mentions Greg Burns. So, I mean, Tucson has certainly not forgotten that
he
was at the forefront for all of this.
Right. No question. I know you're busy. Do you have time to maybe spend some time on the other side of the break to talk about the FBI investigation with the news now that Sean looks like he'll be subpoenaed?
Yeah, I have a few minutes.
Okay, let's go take a break, Bob, and then come back with Caitlin Schmidt of the Arizona Daily Star after this. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. And welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera talking to Caitlin Schmidt of the Arizona Daily Star, who's done a fantastic job of following a lot of the things that go on and off the court at U of A. Right now it's on the court and off the court involving Sean Miller. Not a shock to you that he's going to be subpoenaed here in a few weeks?
No, not a shock. I think, you know, Yahoo Sports had reported this early in February, and it was speculation at that point. But, I mean, we know through wiretaps and some of the indictments that Christian Dawkins, who is still going to trial, had said that he spoke to Sean Miller and had dealings with him. So I'm sure they're curious to hear Sean Miller's side of that.
Right. I'm sure that people recognize who you are on the street. I think your photo is on the paper every now and again. So I'm wondering, they ask me this all the time. Well, because they haven't found anything or nothing's come out, everything's okay. I continue to tell them that we have to wait until April, and I've said this all along for the last few months. What do you tell them?
I mean, the same thing you're telling them. We just have to wait and see. There have been situations where, you know, in other cases not involving sports, where it's taken years
right.
for the subject of an investigation
right.
to be indicted. So, I mean, this is definitely a big wait and see game. I think we'll get a lot more information once this trial is happening, but I think until all of these NCAA cases are resolved, probably nobody's safe.
Right, no, and that's the big thing, because you've been involved in this since the get-go. Anything about this trial specifically, or this situation involving Sean and the basketball program that's been, I don't know, eye-opening or whatever? Because, like you said earlier, probably more fans are concerned about this than the football situation.
Yeah, they definitely are more concerned about this than the football situation, which is interesting because with that football situation, we were talking about systemic violence against women.
Yes.
But, you know, U of A loves their basketball. The whole thing has just been strange. It's like come in waves. So we had, you know, the book indictment and uproar from everyone. And then it was last February that the Board of Regents held that meeting to discuss the basketball team and declared that Sean Miller had been vindicated, and everyone seemed to calm down for a little bit then. But, you know, it's come back here and there. I think every time something happens in this case, everybody gets a little panicky that maybe it's Sean Miller's turn. But, I mean, the fact that it's been this long and he hasn't been indicted is also quite telling, too. You know, if they had a smoking gun, he probably would have been arrested. But you can't rule anything out in cases like this, and especially since we don't really know who the feds are going after or
right.
what the end game is. They indicted all of these assistant coaches, which doesn't seem likely that was the intended target, right?
Right. So let me ask you, knowing what you know, do you think that, because he'll be subpoenaed, do you think Arizona knows everything that they should know at this point in time?
You know, it's tough to say because there's a lot of information we still haven't gotten. Back in, October of 2017, I sent in a records request for all email communications surrounding Book Richardson's arrest and how to handle that. And so we still don't have that. To my knowledge, last February when the Board of Regents held that meeting, Sean Miller was the only person that they had interviewed. So we don't know if they have interviewed or spoken to anyone else. We know that the U of A's investigation was on hold for a little bit. The FBI had asked them to put it on hold.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what they've done, so we don't know if they have all the information, but I can't imagine that they've just been sitting on their hands waiting. So I have a feeling a lot's gone on in the background.
Sure. So is it up to them? And I filed a request in the past and received the information I wanted kind of right away. I guess it was pretty easy to obtain. But for that records request involving Book in October of last year, or 17, what would be the reason why they wouldn't want to release it?
You know, I'm not sure. I checked in with them several months ago to ask what the delay was, and they had told us that after Book Richardson's arrest, the volume of their records request increased exponentially, and so they got kind of far behind. I know some of them have been broad, some of them have been specific, but to my understanding, They did not have to withhold any records from the public related to this investigation at the request of the FBI or NCAA. So I don't know. I checked in with the records coordinator last week about my outstanding records and still haven't heard back. So I think part of it is they definitely have gotten a lot more requests as a result of this, but I'm used to dealing with public agencies that are kind of slow on records, and this one's a little troubling. We're talking about a year and a half now.
Yeah, so they can go as slow as they'd like, even if, let's assume for a second, they just don't want to release it.
I mean, yeah, at some point they'll have to give us a yes or no, but the Arizona Public Records Law simply says they have to produce the records in a timely manner, but there's no definition of timely.
Oh.
So, you know, what's timely to us clearly is not timely to them. But if they do want to refuse it, they have to provide us with legal justification. They just haven't done that yet.
Right, right. So you're keeping your attorneys busy just as well as Arizona's keeping its attorneys very busy.
No attorneys over here. This is just us.
Oh, just you. Okay. I thought maybe you
were
talking to an attorney or two trying to guide you in what you guys are doing or not doing. So, oh, that's good to know. That's good to know. The paper's being saved some money. Or the business, the company.
Yeah.
So what do you expect here the next 5 weeks? It's kind of another sit and wait until Dawkins' trial happens.
Yeah, you know, I think it might be. I don't think we're going to get any information leaked from any government sources just because we're so close to trial. Judging by how the U of A has been handling this since the inception, I don't think they're going to say anything. We can be sure that Sean Miller is not going to comment on it. So, yeah, I think everyone's kind of going to be left waiting and hopefully not speculating too wildly. But
right.
It will certainly be all eyes at that federal courthouse.
Right. Can you? Okay, cool. I'm glad you came on and update us with what you know and what you've been up to. I'm sure that you're not stopping here. I'm sure you're busy with new investigations going on.
You got it. Yeah, I'm still digging into some Title IX stuff. Have some interviews set up in coming weeks, and there's always work to be done.
There's you know what that does, Caitlin? It's job security for you.
That's right.
And not in a good way, but you know, you get to keep your job if you continue to do your job well, and you do, of course. Thank you for coming on again.
Of course, thanks for having me, Steve.
Yes, and we'll probably talk to you come April when things get a little more juicy again.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Caitlin, again. That was Caitlin Schmidt of the Arizona Daily Star, who does a fantastic job covering all the things going on off the field and on the field pertaining to U of A athletics. I would imagine that if people recognize her, say, what are you doing? Enough already. Because at times they would do that. I know they did it with Bruce every now and again. And for me, when I covered the team back in the day, we're there daily, every day. So, but that's what they pay us to do, and that's what they're paying Caitlin to do, and she does a fantastic job. Over the years, they didn't have someone like Caitlin, through the years, you know, digging into stuff like this, which is, applauding to the Arizona Daily Star. They're doing a good job behind all this stuff.
They just had regular folks like you.
Huh? Just regular, right. The funny thing about this, it didn't come generating from anything local. This was a national issue, and now, because the programs don't talk to, well, not the programs, the athletic department per se doesn't really talk to the local, beat writers or whatever regularly, or are very transparent. The national people have become the big breakers of the news. And, for years, I know after the Citizen when I was long gone, that they kind of like, not got in bed with the national news, but they thought it was better to get involved with them because they could kind of make Arizona as a national spotlight.
Mm.
Now guess what? They've come to roost and now the national people are all over them.
Oops.
Yeah. You know, watch out what you do or watch out what you wish for.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's take a break here and come back on the other side here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host of the show, and it's gone pretty quickly. Here's when it might kind of slow down. If you want to call in, please do. It's 790-2040. We could talk all things Arizona basketball, as it pertains to the, FBI news and the potential subpoena by Sean. I'm sure he hasn't been given that subpoena yet, but it will be, as the news broke about 2 hours ago that was going to happen. Although a month ago, we kind of found out that was going to happen for sure. Well, not for sure, but the speculation was. It's good to get some insight from Caitlin Schmidt of the Daily Star. We'll see. I think in 4 or 5 weeks, I've been saying it all along, that we'd know more at the Christian Dawkins level of his trial, federal trial. And there have been reports recently and maybe a few weeks ago that Dawkins' attorney intends to have the conversations of him and the coaches that he had conversations with made public. So we'll find out. I think there were 13 conversations. I think I don't want to be quoted on that, but I'm thinking he had with Sean various lengths of conversations, and that will obviously be one of the questions that Sean may or may not answer when his time is called. He can always say no comment or plead the fifth to the questions, and then I'm not sure how that would look though.
Suspicious.
Yes.
Yeah, suspicious.
Yeah, possibly. No, definitely suspicious. So it's kind of like sit and wait. If you're a mom or a dad, you understand this, you know, after waiting months and months and then the baby's going to be born and now you're still waiting. And then you know that the due date is going to come here pretty soon.
Yeah, just normally baby doesn't take
18 months. No. But to use that analogy in time frame, here we are at the last month of birth. Yeah.
Oh, well. As my friend Riverism, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. It's been a long haul to this point. So started 2017. 2018 was last year. We all know what happened with the team. It kind of got discombobulated with the news, and whether that news that we're going through right now affected last year's team, I don't know, because I think that the kids, and I say kids because they're young men, 18, 19, 20, stuff like that, that maybe they're involved in terms of emotionally involved. But it's kind of the adults are handling the situation or trying to do it as best, and the players are just trying to go through the motions of playing without having to be involved in it. And last year, they just didn't get along. I think that was the story. They just didn't get along. The chemistry was bad. You had a bunch of all-stars or pretty good players that couldn't share the ball or whatever. And they ended up losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament. It started in Bahamas and it didn't get any better. Or if it did, it was a little bit better, and then they lose to Buffalo. So then you say, okay, that season's over. We'll look forward to this next season, and here we are for this next season. And quite frankly, it's probably one of the worst teams Arizona has put together in 30-some years. Even Sean's, I think, first year or two may have been a little bit better in terms of talent. At the end of the day, I guess we'll find out what he thinks of the overall year, whenever that ends, or whenever it finishes the season.
Or maybe he'll take the fifth on that.
He could.
Your voice cracked. I think I may be honest.
He could. In fact, I asked him the question, last year at the NCAA tournament in Boise. At the end of the day, I said, at the end of the day, Sean, how do you think this team is going to be remembered, for 2018, and I knew what the answer was going to be. Well, we won the Pac-12 tournament. We were the Pac-12 champions. We had a good year. But let me tell you something. Arizona is not measured on those accolades. You're measured on how far you go in the tournament. Unfortunately, fair or unfair, that's just what it is. Because you're at Arizona now. You're not at ASU. You're not at New Mexico. Getting into the tournament doesn't mean anything anymore. It's getting far into the tournament, what it means.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And I've had arguments with people who disagreed with me with that, and I'm okay with that, but I still stand by that, because right now, when you're one of the best programs in the country and you don't go far into the tournament, it's called a disappointment. Mm. It's like if Kentucky didn't go far or Duke didn't go far, some of those programs, Kansas, and you find them struggling, to them it's a disappointment. I know to the fans you can kind of sugarcoat it as much as you want, but no, it was a disappointment.
Well, if we look for the silver lining, so to speak, if there was a year for all this distraction stuff to go on, wouldn't you rather it happen during a really bad year, playing-wise, than, let's say, 97, 98?
True.
I mean, that would be, or let's say 96, or, you know, then the next year you see all this talent and yet, you know, because of sanctions, we're not allowed to
right.
go,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that would be heartbreaking.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, we don't know when the NCAA is going to come, with a hammer. If they do come with a hammer at all, they may not, depends what they find or don't find. And I think that Arizona's prepared for whatever will happen. The fact that you've fired two assistant coaches for things that happened, that's kind of an indication that something will happen at the NCAA level, to some degree. And it depends who they come after. Eventually, maybe, what do you call it? NCAA's, failure to monitor the situation or the program. That could come about. I think that's probably the definite. If that comes down, it's not that big of a deal. Failure to monitor the program. That's not that big, but it could be worse.
Right. I mean, that's just
kind of like a slap
on the job. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a slap on the hand.
But if I'm reading the news right, do I not see that, Dawkins, they're saying they have, Yahoo is saying the FBI has audio files?
Yes.
Okay.
Of the conversations. The thing about it is, what do those conversations say? That's the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're dead set on going to trial and defending themselves, so we'll see.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, U of A must know something that's about those conversations to continue to sit by Sean.
Right.
And they've done it from day one.
Right. And you're talking about Robbins. You're not talking about, you know, like.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I was going to do with it. It's not just a guy. It's
right,
the
right.
guy.
It's right.
It's
right,
the guy.
Right, right.
Which, of course, means I'm wondering, what if something happens to Sean? And does that mean that Robbins' situation could be in trouble, too? If, you know, if you're the boss and you're standing by this guy, and then this guy gets affected, does the boss get in trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, I said nah.
Oh,
but
nah.
Now that was an ah, because you're starting to talk like me. Robbins has been in here before on one of the other shows, and you're right, he does defend him, and you would think either he has some really big trust that we don't know about. I mean, you know, you and I are having a conversation about somebody the other day, and I said, I know so-and-so, and it's not as black and white as... You know,
right.
they are saying
true,
and perhaps, you know, that's also the situation here. Where, you know, I know Robbins is fairly new, but
yeah.
maybe he knows things on a personal level. He's like, there's no way I know him.
Right.
I've talked to him over dinner, you know, looking right at him with, you know, his wife sitting right there and his kids. And he said, I'm telling you,
I'm
Randy,
okay.
I don't know nothing about this.
Sure, sure. And then 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I've said this publicly, when we talked to Hickey was adamant. He was defending him and all that. But it was a kind of an impromptu press conference with a group of people. And I'm thinking, what else is he going to say?
Mm.
But we defend him, and we're going to defend him all the way.
Well, I think in other situations, in other programs, and other cities, sometimes they kind of distance themselves and say, we're going to let the law play
right.
out
mm-hmm.
here and
That's
see,
true.
We're not going to rush to judgment. They say like all these political things.
Yes.
These guys aren't saying that. They're
no.
saying, nuh-uh, this didn't happen. We stand behind them.
Right.
That's a lot.
Right, right. Which is a great thing. I mean, if you want that.
Absolutely.
If you want some people supporting you. And the guys,
that's
not
what
just,
I'd want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No question. No question. Like I said, in fact, Sean talked to a group of people yesterday at the new, Davis, Cole and Jeannie Davis, indoor facility. And he thanked the boosters, and he specifically thanked them for defending him and being great supporters of his. And I'm sure that goes a long way, because if you're, big on purse strings for the U of A and you have those people defending you or supporting you, it goes a long way. There's no question about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
So we'll see. We'll see what comes up. And the women's, we talked about this before, the women's basketball team doing really well, even in losses. It's funny how I talk about positive things, even though they lost, because, you know, what was to be expected this year? Not this, because they're doing really well. And then with a good recruiting class coming in next year, Adia Barnes is going to have a fantastic next year. And I'm sure a lot of more people will kind of start going to go see those games, and a lot of enthusiasm.
More records to be broken.
More records to be broken. Right, right. When you get more players, and then McDonald doing what she's doing, a lot of the fan base will start showing up and maybe latch on to that team for a while if Arizona's men's basketball team ends up with something. You know, I don't know when they would come out with that, though, because we're still in the process. I don't know if the NCAA investigation is over or not. My suspicion is that it is. And now they're just waiting for other things to kind of finish up to see what's going on. Yeah. Dave Hickey would not say whether it was ongoing still, but my guess is that it's over. And now they're just kind of waiting to figure out what else is going to happen with the federal trial. Yeah. And if misery loves company, there'll be other schools involved.
And if I understand right, the reason that it's federal is because of the private money involved from Adidas or whoever
Adidas
it was.
And yeah, people, yeah, yeah. Cause it's more about, I was talking to somebody Saturday, I think it was, we were at an event and he, started talking about subpoenas and blah, blah, blah. And he's saying, well, how is the guy trying to defraud the university? Because it wasn't about Schmuck taking money. He could just take the money. And I said, yeah, but it's not as simple as that because it was the potential use of the money and what he did with the money and things. I had a hard time explaining it to him. I understood what he was saying. Like if I gave you money and you had it and you didn't do anything with it, you just kept it. Is it a law?
You still gave me the money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For whatever purpose.
Yeah, rob a bank. It doesn't matter if we spend the money.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, little things that are part of this big picture. But like I said, we're probably in the 7.5 inning of a 9-inning game. Who knows? It could go into 10, 12 innings.
Hey, there you go.
Could go extra baseball.
Lord help us.
No, yeah, we don't want that.
Can't they call it because of rain?
They might. They should call it because of pain. It's already got a long way to get to this point.
Yeah.
18 months. I can remember it yesterday. It was, we were in the lawn after a press conference and it was hot. It was September and you're thinking, man, how long is this going to take? And we said maybe two years at the most 2 years. And we're about, like I say, 18 months with another 19 month in April. So almost 20 months probably.
So what's the hard money on here? I mean, if they go to trial in April, we should know in April or May at the late. How long of a case are they? Are they expecting a week, a day?
That I do not know. But the last one I think went 2 weeks. I think it's 2 weeks, shy of three, and a lot of guilties on that.
To get all the facts out and everything else.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I'm with you there. I bet you Ms. Schmidt would have a very good idea on how long we expect it to last.
Right. So let's take another break, our last one of this two-hour segment, and come back on the other side. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. Here we are in the final segment of the two-hour block that I have here on Monday afternoon. Lots going on in town. The rodeo just finished. The Cobra Guard Classic kind of officially started yesterday with a big walk, and then they'll be busy all week at Tucson National with a lot of things going on. A lot of the pro-ams Wednesday, I think it is. I think they're doing some things with the young kids today. The first tee program, I think. We should have had Josh Robinson call in. Maybe that'll happen tomorrow. We're talking a lot about the FBI investigation involving Arizona, or at least how it pertains to Arizona with the news today. Not surprising news that looks like Sean Miller will be subpoenaed for a trial involving Mr. Christian Dawkins in April. But I wanted to kind of say something or read something from the Arizona Daily Star from colleague Bruce Pasco, who, and I totally believe it. It's to my knowledge very true. If Sean Miller is subpoenaed and has done nothing wrong, he could testify to that. And as Yahoo reported, the coach could try to either quash the subpoena or he could plead the fifth. And I'm quoting now from the Yahoo story, is the potential of Miller on the stand could end up as a tipping point for his future at Arizona. And there's a certain risk and embarrassment that comes with that potential testimony.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. But like as the final paragraph of this is that he's received great support from Robert Robbins, obviously the president of the university, and AD Dave Hickey. And I talked to Matt Moreno earlier in the last hour, that there's a lot of bad publicity coming out of the U of A, and not just basketball, it's a lot of been football after what was hoped to be a promising season with Sumlin and Khalil Tate. Just not a lot of good things coming out of that. And a lot of it has come on the heels of Dave Hickey's first 2 years, and he kind of had no part of that outside of, you know, hiring Sumlin. He just kind of came on the scene, and this is what he had to deal with.
Yeah,
I'm not making an alibi for him. It's just that this has been kind of a crazy, it's like a crazy mess that you just fall into.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with. And Mr. Robbins, too.
Well, he doesn't need an alibi. He's, you know.
This is, yeah.
Yeah.
It happened before he got here.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And Robbins, too, because they came in about the same time. Almost 2 years to the day of this month, if I can remember correctly. I think it was in 2017, February, because Greg Byrne left to Alabama 2 years, I think in January. You know, there's a reason why they get paid the big bucks.
Mm.
You know, I wouldn't know. I don't get paid big bucks. Sometimes that's a good thing.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking if you're one of these guys and you know what always goes through my mind is in these situations, if you're one of those guys that's getting subpoenaed, lots of people in the government lately, that's happening too, and
yeah.
You know that the truth is against you, it's got to be hell to sleep at night.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what
sure.
I mean? You just yeah. want to kind of go, hey, sweetie, if for some reason I was going to go away on vacation for a couple of years, would you be able to take care of the dog and the kids for me, for us while I'm gone? And your wife's like, what are you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, right.
It's got to be horrible.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But then again, if they're...
If you're okay, you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll know more. Like I said, I think that from the people I talked to, I think that 75% of the fan base trusts Sean, believes in Sean, and figure that everything will be okay. I also believe that they thought that this would not come to this point.
Yeah.
But it is. And the other 25% are kind of saying, you know, we don't need Sean anymore. He hasn't taken us to the Final Four. Maybe we can find somebody else. And they throw out these crazy conspiracies or crazy names to become coach. In fact, you know, I continue to hear from fans, not from anybody else, that they really would like Luke Walton to be the coach. Because his days might be near an end at Los Angeles with the Lakers, given their situation. But in fact, today I heard this morning on ESPN and Williams, the guard from Duke, I'm just lost his first name, who said that he's predicting that if Luke Walton is fired from the Lakers, that Luke would be the UCLA coach, because they're looking for a coach too.
Mm.
Which would be very surprising to have Luke on the other side with the UCLA Bruins, although his dad was obviously a superstar with the Bruins back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And quite the talker.
Back in the day, he was not a talker. In fact, he was a stutterer.
Really?
Uh-huh. He had a bad stutter, and so he didn't really like talking when he was younger.
How about those cranberries?
So he went to fix that problem, and now he...
Talk too much?
He doesn't stutter.
Steve,
I
can't believe you said that. That's horrible.
He doesn't stutter, but he talks about stuff that doesn't involve the basketball game. In fact, I did a story on Mr. Bill Walton. I think he's a fascinating guy. I really like him.
Yes.
In fact,
I
tell UA fans that they should offer him up a pass because, one, Luke Walton played here. That alone should give Bill Walton a
the
pass.
The genes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he loved Lute, so go play for Lute. You know, if you're going to do it. He didn't tell him where to go. He said, Luke, if that's your choice, you go play for Lute, because you could not go wrong in not playing for Lute. But I did a story on Mr. Walton about 3 years ago when I was working with the Fox Sports Arizona, and talked to some fans, talked to Larry Scott, talked to a lot of people locally, and how polarizing he was.
Hmm.
Because either you really love him or you really hate him. And I'm one of the guys that really like him because he is funny, but I get it. After watching a lot of games on TV when the team's on the road, I'm thinking, now I understand.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk about basketball. And he gets into these tangents. What, 2-3 weeks ago, he ate a cupcake with a candle in it. I mean, now he's just being silly. You didn't see that?
No.
If you go ahead and you can Google it, you'll see it. You'll see it.
Nah, I believe it. I told you it's one of those things that you're grateful for the play-by-play. Brian Jeffries, put the radio on. I just wish I could get him synced up a little bit better. But
My suggestion is if you're watching it at home and he's doing the TV, doing the show, you don't have to listen to any of it. You just turn it off, turn the volume down and watch the game. If you're at the game, guess what you do? You watch the game.
Ah. Fascinating.
What's the difference?
Wow.
And you already know basketball, so you just know what's going on. You don't need to hear about, the trees in Yosemite. You don't need to hear the saguaros in Tucson.
A Nike blowout. I mean, give me a break. I've had socks with holes in them bigger than that. I mean, speaking of holes, let's talk about that ozone, Jimmy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, he's a cyclist. He's around doing a lot of different things. He loves Tucson. He's come to visit here a number of times. Very nice guy. Sure. Well read. Very smart. And that's one of the reasons why he does what he does. He's well read and he knows a lot. So in order, if the game is not that good, or I guess even if it's good, he takes it exit.
Oh, it has nothing to do with the game. Give me a break. As his co-host said a couple of weeks, I was telling you about it on the air. His co-host said, now back to basketball. what? I missed something in the game here. What? Yeah, there's a game going on.
Squirrel.
No.
No, but that's a lot of fun. So we'll see what happens here in the next couple of days. I think the news just broke 2 hours ago about Sean being subpoenaed. Nothing will come after this until he's actually subpoenaed, I think. I could be wrong, but what else do you need to know besides that? We knew a month ago that that was a potential or a possibility. Now we know that it's going to be happening.
Well, hopefully not, the bombshells are dropped and he doesn't resign out of nowhere or something really scary,
I would doubt that too,
but then again, years ago, you would have doubted he'd be in trouble probably.
True.
Not in trouble, but, how did Bruce put it? Yeah, Bruce put it very, the article by Bruce quoting, I'm sorry,
Yahoo.
The Yahoo, just doesn't look so good.
No, it doesn't. That's why you wonder whether he's going to actually talk or not talk when the eventual thing happens. Yeah. It's sit and wait, and your CSI music will have to save for another day. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to that, that music down the road. A lot of things going on. Thanks for listening to me today. I didn't expect this Monday to be as crazy as it was. I think we're going to try to get the Color Guard people, the conquistadors, on the line tomorrow. So we'll talk more about what's going on.
Did you go see the ponies, by the way?
No.
Snowed out?
No. They ran. I didn't. I kind of laid low this weekend outside of my walk yesterday. I feel sore today. I'm out of shape.
Well, you look like you walked in with happiness and all that other stuff that happens when you go for a long walk.
You need an eye check.
And raise money.
Eye check. Yes. Yes.
No, really.
We'll talk about that tomorrow, though. I hope that we can talk to Josh Robinson of the Tucson Conquistadors. I know they have a ton of people out there working the Tucson National because this is what they live for in terms of raising a lot of money to give about $500,000 to the local charities.
And the weather's going to be just perfect.
Oh, it's going to be perfect. Yes. Welcome to Tucson.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining me here on The Voice, here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks.